Super Gamecast 64, episode 116. Today on the show, there's rumors of a new Xbox. The Game Awards came up, and Jeff Keighley gave out all of his little awards, and a lot of games were announced.
Little Jeff.
And the Dorito Pope returns once again.
Yeah, he does.
And this week, Super Smash Bros. And a ton of other stuff came out. So without further ado, haven't said that in a while, let's get into the show. Kevin, you want to hit him with a Deej?
DJ.
Ooh, it's been a while. And we're back. Episode 116, this is Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show, it's also a video game show, where if you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. This time, all the games are not here. We're missing one. So let's just roll with this. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always,
it's me, it's Kevin, it's classic flavor. We're like the, what people commonly refer to as, like, Mexican Coke.
Yeah. The original.
We're, like, in a glass bottle.
Why is it always taste better when it's in a glass bottle?
I don't know. I don't really drink pop. Oop.
Did you toot?
Yeah, that was a vibrate. That was a toot.
That was actually
That was me trying to be a responsible recording partner and, you know, turning my phone on to vibrate.
It's okay.
It hasn't been off of vibrate in like 12 years, but I just get paranoid sometimes.
No, I understand. As a listener, you can either decide if that was a toot or a Kevin phone vibrate.
Also known as an electronic toot.
You might notice that we're down a voice. The good boy Tyler is he is gone for the week. He is busy. It's the holidays. Someone typed to me in an email, holidays, but D-A-Z-E.
That's funny. And I'm like,
that's very actually appropriate.
That's some good office humor.
Shut the front door. This is not the Christmas episode. That one will be coming up in a week. There was just so much stuff that happened pre-Christmas. You remember when December and November, like November, the end of November marked all the end of like the major game releases, and then everyone trampled each other in Walmart on Black Friday, and then it was kind of chill for most of December.
I just remember my wallet was trampled. Like, it was on the ground bleeding and begging for help, and then Smash came out.
This year was crazy. It was like it's like the game industry has just not stopped. Every few years, you see kind of like a shift. Like, hey, games used to release on Tuesdays. Now they release on Fridays. The shift in 2018 and going into 2019 is just games are all the time. You can't afford any of them.
No.
There's too many. I already started making my calendar for 2019.
I was going to say, Q1's coming fast.
Dude,
already.
January and February, we'll talk about it at the end of the show. There is like two or three big releases a week, which is almost unheard of. But anyways, let's get into the meat of the show. I was thinking maybe we do like a funny bit, but I'm not feeling the holiday spirit yet. I don't know if you are, Kev.
I
you got any of that holiday in you?
No, I mean a little bit. Well, okay, so I've been playing this game.
Yeah,
with my friends, we're all here for games. Basically, the point of the game is to get through
December without
all of December
yeah.
without hearing "Last Christmas" by Wham.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, see, that is like a challenge that is not super hard difficulty, but it's definitely in the upper tier
of
difficulties.
You would think it's not hard. I was doing great. I was doing awesome. I even played Dangerous and kept a Christmas station on my radio for the like minute and a half it plays while my car's warming up before I plug my phone in.
That's super. You're just asking.
Dude, I was playing it hardcore mode, you know, like the legendary mode on
the
Halo.
The permadeath mode.
Yes. And I was doing great. I was doing fantastic until Saturday when my sister-in-law decided to put on a Spotify playlist of Christmas classics.
That's where they get you.
First song comes on.
Weird Al Yankovic's Albuquerque.
No, actually, if I were an asshole, what I would do is I would have you edit in a little clip from Last Christmas by Wham here, because I know that at least one of our listeners is also playing this game.
Of trying to avoid it.
The goal is to avoid recognizing it, because like you could theoretically hear it and not really recognize it, you know what I mean? Like,
it is one of those kind of ethereal, like the ghost of Christmas past hanging out. Like, you might notice it, but if you don't really tune in, because I've been trained by the retail to just kind of tune out most Christmas music, but as soon as you hear those, you know, those sultry beginning words,
the thing with Christmas music is
it's made by Satan.
Well, it's all drivel. And I don't mean to say that to sound like conceited or anything, but like any artist, is going to recognize the fact that it's only going to be played like 1 or 2 months max per year.
You're not making Christmas music because you love Christmas. You're making Christmas music to make that Christmas money.
Yes. Have you ever heard Stephen Colbert's Christmas song?
No, but I imagine it's far better than most things.
It's fantastic. And it's all about that. It's all about the fact that he just made it for money and he's like,
It's a good move.
It's good stuff.
Speaking of other things that happen around the holiday season, that's actually when you were telling me about the Last Christmas thing. You know, Too Many Cooks. Everyone knows Too Many Cooks. It's just that, but instead of the theme song kind of haunting you, it is The Last Christmas while you're running down like you know the service exit of the Macy's out of the mall, and Last Christmas is coming towards you as you just try to escape the last 10 seconds. Get that achievement for surviving 2 weeks of December without. I haven't heard a whole lot of Christmas music. But I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was our 5-minute Christmas music bit. Let's move on to some game news. There was a lot of stuff, and I feel like it's the holidays. Let's make this one a little bit more relaxed. Content heavy episodes are fine. I'm honestly getting a little bit sick of content, and specifically coming up in January, what we're gonna have is we're gonna have this episode, our Christmas episode, and then we're kind of jumping right into Game of the Year after Games Done Quick,
which is traditionally a multi-episode bit,
a two or three parter, probably two.
We've gotten three before, though.
Yeah, there's I think 17 categories this year. There might be some trimming. Anyways, it's gonna get content heavy towards January, so let's make it silly. Let's make it fun. And starting with silly things, this isn't silly actually. You guys want a new Xbox? Let me just ask yourself that. Do you want a new PlayStation? Because if current rumors are to be believed, Kevin has this big-ass thermos, bro, and it sounds like it was made from the steel that you would make a Valerian, like Valerian steel, right? So anytime you put it onto anything, it's like clink, like it has like some...
It's how people know I mean fucking business.
Yeah, no, for sure. It is definitely like a statement thermos.
It's one of those things where like... I can't force myself to work out, so I just carry around a fuck ton of water and like
hope it just kind
of
goes.
Yeah, like it naturally I curl it because I don't drink enough water, of course, so it always stays like the same weight.
It was just fine to watch Kevin try to put down this mammoth of a thermos while not wrecking the world with his. He didn't want you guys to know he means fucking business at this moment, but whether or not he wanted to.
I hope you're here because you already know I mean fucking business.
This is also an explicit show. It's not recommended for children. I mean, you hear worse on Fortnite. Anyways, new Xbox. So here's the thing. I don't know exactly the source. You can look it up because it's a verified, not a verified source, but anytime this site has come out over the past, 3 to 4 years and had some sort of Microsoft leak, it's usually valid. The reason because this site, what they do is they usually do Windows leaks. They're a very Microsoft-centric company. So in this post, in the past few weeks, they released a slew of leaks about Windows and Microsoft's latest plans. And within that text article, there was stuff about the new Xbox, which right now it's called Xbox codename Scarlet. How do we feel about that? Just in terms of like naming conventions, because you had like the Durango, which was the Xbox One codename. You had like the Dolphin. What was the Switch?
Dreamcast was Dolphin, wasn't it?
I thought GameCube was Dolphin.
Maybe it was.
Send in corrections. Super Gamecast 64 Facebook group, or just send to my Twitter at Super Game or at SGC64 Matt. I feel like Dolphin was GameCube, and I feel like Dreamcast was Last Chance. That was Sega codename Last Chance. Let's try against Sony.
Yeah.
Do you like Scarlet? I think it's kind of like sexy.
It is sexy.
I also like that character from Mortal Kombat.
Well, I think of like Scarlet Witch.
Yes, and she's a sexy Olsen.
The thing is, I think that the general clientele that they're aiming this product at is decidedly unsexy. Myself
Definitely.
Included. Myself included. That's not disparaging.
A sexy man.
That's not disparaging on other players. I don't think anybody would label themselves as like, yes, I am sexy, and I am also the prime target for this marketing campaign.
I'd say the sexiest console of this generation was probably the Sega Jaguar.
I was thinking the PS3, the rounded, like,
yes,
you know, like
dude,
the,
thick.
It's like the
thick.
It's like the Porsche of video game consoles.
It's like the H2 Hummer of hot-ass Sony consoles. But anyway, so with Sony skipping E3 and now this leak about the new Xbox, pretty much the idea is that these new systems are going to be dropping 2020. I originally thought 2021, maybe 2022, but with the way things are moving, it's looking like 2020 for these new consoles. The idea here is that neither company, Microsoft or Sony, wants to put theirs out last. That's kind of what killed the PlayStation originally, is because the 360 came out so far before it, and it was way cheaper. So they're trying to both kind of get to the gate at the same time, which is what happened with PS4, Xbox One. Besides this codename Scarlet, which is, it's going to be your standard next-gen Xbox One X kind of, it's an Xbox 2, or whatever you want to call it, but it is a traditional game console is what I was looking for. In addition to that, they are talking about a discless Xbox One.
Oh boy.
Coming for $200 in 2019. And now people have been thinking, because Microsoft traditionally likes to do this kind of three-tier release thing, that what you'll have is PC is high-end, because everything is now PC and Xbox when it's an Xbox exclusive. Your mid-tier is this Xbox 2, and then your low tier is this discless Xbox One, which will reinforce that streaming service they were talking about. They're trying to move towards this streaming future where everything is still looks really good but can be streamed. And unfortunately, I don't think they're quite there yet. So it's nice for them to say, we have a streaming solution. It's a discless Xbox One.
That's great and all. But when you have the option of like internet that's run on the basically what amounts to the cable network equivalent of string cheese.
True.
Or like, you know, like human veins, you know?
It's not going to work out as well.
Yeah. Like nobody has good internet.
I think so we're going to have to see.
I want to just point out the fact that when Forsaken came out, I took the day off, as you may remember. And I was so eager to play this game, and I logged on only to realize that my game needed to be completely re-downloaded.
Yeah, 60 gig update or whatever.
8 hours later, it was finally done, and it was my whole day off was gone because I had to wait.
What did you do with
that
day off that you didn't do?
I think I cried the whole time.
That's okay. I don't know.
I don't remember what I did.
New Sony consoles go, it's all speculative at this point. But with them skipping E3, it would make sense for them to use 2019 because they don't have a bunch of games. Like Last of Us 2 is the major one. What's that zombie? Days Gone. They have a few in the pocket, but they're kind of slowing down, and it would be a smart year to skip E3, establish their own thing, and next year come out with their own event, kind of like a Paris Games Week or whatever the hell they want to do, and then just be like, here's the PlayStation 5. So we might be seeing new consoles at E3. Maybe if Microsoft wants to be crazy, E3, we'll see the new Xbox. Probably 2020 for sure. But that's the most interesting thing, I think, or big picture stuff.
I know the last gen of consoles like didn't just come out, but it just seems kind of...
It was really recent?
Yeah, like it seems like it was pretty recent.
Shit was like 2012, bro. It was like 6 years.
Yeah.
It lines up with the PS3 to PS4 life cycle.
I was gonna say, quite frankly, it seems like they've been out longer, if anything.
They've definitely... Well, I think Sony, they want to do like a longer life cycle with the PS4, and I think with Xbox saying, we're going to put on a new Xbox, has maybe pushed their hand a little bit. We'll have to see. But new console shit's always exciting. I guess that's the question. What would you want? Let's just disregard the whole idea that Microsoft's going towards streaming and whatever Sony might do. But if you could have, you know, an Xbox or a PlayStation of your choice, like what's the maybe like one or two things you would really want? Because I'm not super hot on streaming.
I would love what everybody wants: a cheap console with great hardware.
Yeah, something that's like, well,
it's not going to happen. But
you want something powerful that is a closed OS. I like PC games for what they afford, but this is a whole rabbit hole I don't want to get to.
I would love a console that works, that functions similarly to my PC in that I spent $1,100 on it in 2012.
And it's still viable.
And I've reinvested maybe $100 since then, and it still works better than my Xbox does.
Oh, I believe. I think that's more of just the Xbox and kind of piece of shit.
Not to be a PC. Well, not to be a PC elitist, but generally speaking, like I can run games at a higher quality than both PS4 and Xbox with the only thing I've reinvested is my graphics card.
Well, that's what I think makes sense about this three-tier Microsoft idea, is that they know you're never going to be able to topple PC. PC will also be always be ultra high-end.
Yeah.
The best they can do is fill the mid-tier.
Well, yeah, and you can make, I mean, with the amount you spend on a console, you really couldn't get a whole lot in terms of power from a PC. But if you were to invest a little bit more, you would have a longer-lasting platform.
I think we're going to have to see, because specifically this next generation, we can't really go much further from here in terms of graphical quality.
No.
You know, you're going to have your 8K, but everything from here becomes features. Streaming, you know, game, digital download programs. So it'll be an interesting future we live in.
I think they'd be remiss if they didn't really start to put a lot more eggs in the old VR basket, because I feel like that'd
be interesting.
I mean, Sony's I don't want to be the guy who says, "Oh, that's the next big thing," because I don't know. There is a kind of a barrier to entry there in terms of cost.
Yeah, especially when you get into things like Vive for PC.
Right.
I think Sony did a good thing with the PSVR. It wouldn't be a terrible idea to do maybe a second step. But the thing with Sony PSVR is, if you're going to take the next step, you got to get rid of the single camera. You got to maybe institute a new system. The tracking on the PSVR still leaves a little bit to be desired. So I would be interested in a PSVR 2.0 for a PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
But yeah, VR, we will have to see. Either way, I'll be excited. We talked about this a few episodes ago. Remember when Nintendo went really hard on those ROM sites? In specific. So those who maybe are new to the show or didn't listen to that episode, you know, sometimes you type in, like, play Nintendo games online in the Google, and it pops up, and you can download, like, a Nintendo game with an emulator. That is a ROM, and the idea of ROMs have always been a little bit gray area, because they're not technically illegal if you own the original property, but no one really does that. It's just a way to download the games. Nintendo has been more outspoken against ROM stuff in the past than other companies. A lot of the argument is that, hey, if you don't want us to download these ROMs, provide a place for us to buy them. And Nintendo doesn't have, you know, a huge virtual console. They don't have many places to purchase them, unless you're trying to buy an old NES cart.
Well, you wouldn't download a car.
No, you wouldn't download a Mario, so why would you download a car? Well, no, you would download a Mario. I think the problem here is that no one can download a Mario anymore, because they went out and they sued this, it was like two websites owned by the same group of people who, I mean, they were pushing it. Besides allowing downloads of these ROMs, you could play them within browser. I think they were monetizing. There was quite a bit there that they were doing that was less than savory. So they settled publicly. It's probably less privately. You know, like, often they'll be like, hey, we want to make a statement, so we're going to say we settled for this much, but it might be, you know, a 2% of that. You want to take a wild guess how much Nintendo publicly said they settled for?
$1.4 million.
Ooh, why don't you take that times, you put the .4. Times 8? $12 million.
Yikes.
Now, this isn't like a company. Imagine being like Joe Schmo, who likes Nintendo games. You start your own website, put up these ROMs. They're not a lot. You know, they're like a kilobyte a piece. It's not a ton of stuff to host. Get a little too antsy, and here comes Nintendo, your favorite game console company, $12 million. But realistically, it's probably, you know, a few thousand. It's just making a statement. But this kind of sets a precedent for the ROM sites. And I will tell you, it's much harder to find a ROM of, like, Super Mario 64 now, or even last year, than it was 5 years ago. So we're seeing them crack down on that more. But it was interesting to follow that up, because a lot of times you hear these lawsuits, and you hear these class actions, and they don't go anywhere.
The problem is they make them illegal. And, you know, if you outlaw ROMs, only outlaws will have ROMs.
Yes.
So you go to your ROM dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, Willby Hills, you know, like,
yeah,
that area.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The high-end area. Because
where they have the good ROMs.
The good, good ROMs. You know, like, not the oregano that they're selling at the high schools. You know what I mean?
Those are glitched ROMs.
Yeah, yeah. They're selling, like, Excitebike and Joust there.
Who needs that shit?
Where you can go up.
You can go in your dad's closet.
You can go to the Heights. You can go to the Heights and you can buy yourself...
some
Banjo
local
Kazooie.
Comedy for
yeah.
you. Some local. It's Banjo Tooie if you're going to high
school. Banjo Tooie, yeah. Well, you know,
local
Kingdom
comedy.
Hearts, Dream, Gumdrop.
What Kevin's trying to say is
flip,
if you buy the
top.
Nintendo drugs online, instead of going to your local ROM dealer,
go to the
dealer,
Silk Road and buy ROMs.
That's right, the dark net, bro.
The Silk Road.
So yeah, Nintendo didn't make $12 million off the ROM sites, but they want
Wait,
you to
I'm sorry,
it.
Did you say dark web?
Nah, I already have. Editing, I have
I know.
Okay. You want to say something?
Well, you know.
Here's something that would be on the dark web. No, it wouldn't. This is just the clusterfuck that is Fallout 76 is it's embarrassing, dude. Could you imagine being Todd Howard in the situation? Let's just wrap this all up into one big story. Fallout 76 is not a great game. I recently put out my review of it. I gave it a 5.5 out of 10. Kevin, you said you liked it more than I did.
It was alright. Yeah. I like online stuff.
Inherently, you like crafting online a bit more, but what level did you reach? Like, what, 20, 10, 15? 15. Okay, and you don't really have a huge dying interest to go right back in.
No.
Exactly. So, at best, it's an okay game. At worst, you're not going
to
like it.
I'll play if people ask me to play, is really what it comes down to.
Dude, what's up? My computer really wanted me to update Windows Firewall. Pro tip for those PC gamers out there, don't have Windows Firewall pop up during recording.
During your TF2 game.
It's Time Splitters 2.
You know it's a bad, bad game when a veteran developer, publisher of countless hit games at this point.
Elder Scrolls Skyrim. Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Has to be patted on the back.
Skyrim Special Edition.
When they finally release a halfway decent set of patch notes.
Skyrim VR.
I don't know if you saw that today.
Oh yeah, they're like,
they released patch notes and everybody's like, wow, great job. It's like, you should know how to do this already.
And the patch notes were like, we're fixing the whole game about where you build up a base and you can move it anywhere on the map?
Yeah.
And how that just doesn't work? We're fixing that. Everyone's like, good fucking job, Bethesda. You really brought it home. Okay, so let's just disregard, but keep it actually in the back of your mind, that Fallout 76 may or may not be a good game. There was this whole nylon bag.
Oh my god.
So you saw that, yeah. Long story short, varies $200? It was upwards of $180 to $200. Special edition, you purchased it, you get a canvas bag. People get their special editions, find out that canvas bag is a Fallout 76 nylon bag. And Bethesda's original reaction to it was, we didn't have the manufacturing materials deal with it. This isn't the first time they've done something like this. I think they said the Skyrim map was supposed to be a canvas map, and it was paper.
And it'd be one thing if they tried to make it look, you know, realistic or whatever.
It's just a shitty bag.
It sucks. It like, it's very obvious from looking at it immediately that it is trash. It's like, you know those swishy pants you had as a kid?
Yeah, you
and
got
if
it for
$3? Like, slid on them too hard on the floor, you would burn a hole right through and skin your knee?
Yes.
That's what that was made out of.
So, that's what people got for $200. And then, the saddest part is after Bethesda's like, we couldn't manufacture, excuse. A bunch of influencers and streamers, and you know, the people that you would expect Bethesda to be kissing ass for, they all received canvas bags, like the ones that were pictured in the advertisements at a, you know, Fallout 76 event to sucker up to the influencers. So,
you know, the only thing that could make all of that worse would be if they doxed you.
Yeah, and so what they did is they, hold that thought, Kevin, they said, hey, what happened with the nylon thing originally, their first solution was, we're going to give you these in-game points, right? You can buy like half of a wristwatch. It was like $5 an in-game.
Literally $5
for a cosmetic store, whatever. But through that, you know, they had your information or whatever. And then they said, hey, we're going to do right on this canvas bag thing, contact support, put through a ticket with your info, and then we will, you know, we'll get you your canvas bag. For Christ's sake, we're sorry. Then, whoopsie-daisy, Bethesda customer support, I'm just reading straight from the headline, I don't want to fudge it, Bethesda customer support leaks customer addresses, phone numbers of Fallout 76 buyers. So because you put that ticket through, or, you know, your info is just in that system from a plethora of reasons, whether it was, whatever, all that information got leaked online. People went into the ticket thing and found there was a back door that could quickly access literally all the people's information. I don't know if there's any credit card stuff associated with. To be honest, I saw this headline, I laughed really hard, and I went, Jesus, I feel so bad for Bethesda. Then immediately said, I don't feel bad for Bethesda, this is their fault.
This would be like if you were planning, like, a month in advance to come over for dinner, and you were going to bring me your world-famous soup, and I insisted that I had something to add to the soup that would make it even better, and you're game for it because you're a nice dude.
Yeah.
Like, you already have a starting product that's fantastic. It's world-renowned.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring it over, and I shit in the pot.
Yeah. And then I'm just like, do I want to taste it? And then my friend next to me is like, no, bro, you can still taste the good soup.
The good soup's still there. You just got to eat around the chunks.
Just eat around. Just avoid the shit. There's a
Watch
good
out
game
for the corn.
Here. Oh my god. Fallout 76, not only is it a mediocre game, it gives out nylon bags for $200, and then they leak all your information. So I would just say, for now, maybe don't buy Fallout 76.
Just as a little feather in our cap.
Little Johnny Apples.
I don't know. I don't have anything to compare it to. This is just me going off of what we originally said about Fallout 76.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure we were one of the few people who were very skeptical about this game from the get-go.
I also want to go out on a limb here. I'm not going to go out on a limb. I remember when we were originally talking about this, Tyler called on Fallout New Orleans, and I believe I said it was Fallout Online. I think I called this day one.
Yeah.
I think the original tweet from Super Gamecast when they released the teaser of Fallout 76 is because Fallout Online is just not a great title.
Yes.
To be honest, Fallout Online would have been a better title.
It would have been.
But hey, you know, you can't. Okay, you said feather in our cap. Who the fuck is the macaroni man who went to town?
Yankee Doodle.
Yeah, ride on a pony.
Yeah.
Stuck a feather in his ass and called it macaroni. Dude.
Which, if you think about that a little bit, that is kind of like Fallout adjacent. You know, like they have all those like songs in there.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude. They're all borrowed from Skyrim and Fallout Nuka-Cola world. If I had a dollar for every asset that's been borrowed in that game. All right, look, we're not going to get into Fallout 76. If you want to hear read my full thoughts or hear and watch, you can go to a 90skid.com where I posted my review as a freelancer.
I just want to be clear. I'm open to it getting better.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be one of those games that it'll be good in 2 years. Kind of like Red Dead Online, how it's shitty at the beginning, but they're very quickly fixing it. I feel like Red Dead and Fallout will get there within a year and a half. Hopefully. Fallout has its own issues. Let's move on. We still have Game Awards stuff to talk about, but here, you brought this up, and I watched a little bit of John Romero's stream. John Romero, one of the co-creators of Doom, founder of original company id Software. You might know of them if you like first-person shooters. He made the game called Sigil. You're going to have to help me with this one, Kev, because I only saw a few bits about it. But this is John Romero. Maybe we could say that his past solo efforts haven't worked out. For those who are akin to 90s marketing, you might remember John Romero is going to make you his bitch, which was the tagline for Daikatana, John Romero's Doom spiritual successor. Is John Romero making us his bitch with this one? Oh, whoa, surprise intro. We got young Dan trying to creep his way through the studio without making noise because he's...
Speaking of people who make other people their bitches. What's up, Dan?
I'm so successful with not making noise.
Dan, out of 10, Super Smash Bros. World of Light. We'll talk about this in the game section, but I just want some input from Dan here. He's off mic. It's going to sound a little weird. Dan, out of 10, World of Light mode.
Solid 9.5.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's nice. Someone just gave me shit for giving Red Dead Redemption a 9.5, but I stand behind it. World of Light's pretty good. Classic mode's a little bit better, in my opinion, but we'll see. Dan's going to go hang 10. Cowabunga, motherfucker. Shred, bro. Incineroar.
You going to buy them those black market ROMs?
Yeah.
Got to get in early.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. Thanks. Surprise holiday. Guest there, Dan. Very nice. So yeah, this is like a Doom mod, the Sigil game.
It's from what I understand, it is an actual successor to Doom.
Okay,
if I'm not mistaken.
I think I saw you needed the original Doom WAD, like the install files for Doom.
Probably, yeah. I don't know a ton about this, admittedly, but I think John Romero has finally mellowed with age.
Yeah, that was always a thing. It was the two Johns, and we've read the book Masters of Doom.
Fantastic book, by the way.
Highly recommend. We're just gonna skip right to the end recommendation. Once again, the book to read, Masters of Doom by David Kushner. Also, Prepare for Thy Doom and Jacked. Three excellent books about video game development.
Just a little plug about Masters of Doom. It's a great book for your holiday break. It's not very long.
No, it's a good, like, if
and
you like
paced really well.
If you do the audiobook, it's a good maybe like weekend listen, depending on how hard you binge. If you have the book, you know, I read a little bit faster. It's maybe a day.
Audiobooks,
or two.
Will Wheaton, right?
Yeah, Will Wheaton.
It was good audio.
I enjoyed it. So yeah, it was the id, the original creators of Doom. It was two Johns who made the company. John Carmack, who was like the mellow of the two and the more, you know, focused on the coding, and then John Romero, who's the thinker, the one who liked the blood and the gore and the creative side of it. And John Romero has historically just been a little bit, not wonky, but he's been eccentric.
I've always pictured them as John Romero is like the Oh, God, what's his name?
You can stew on it. You can stew on it.
Yeah, let me think for a minute. Keep going.
Okay, while you think about what John is, multiplayer starting. Just cut you off there. No. From what I saw, and I believe it was a Kotaku story, I think it's free, coming out soon. John Romero had a Twitch stream where he played through it once. I don't think there was a saved recording of that, or if there was, I was too stupid to find it. I believe it's 9 maps. It's a sequel. A spiritual sequel or a direct sequel to episode 4 of Doom 2, Hell on Earth? Look, I know a lot about Doom, but I
got it.
Thanks, bud. Saving me once
John again. Carmack.
Yes.
Is Kurt Cobain.
Ah.
And John Romero is Dave Grohl.
Yes. That is a very, if you don't know the Teen Spirit band, that reference ain't gonna hold up. But
Kurt Cobain, John Carmack, they're the quiet, the thinkers. They're the
shotgunners.
Wow.
Well, that joke hasn't been done too many times.
And then Dave Grohl, like the front man, the one that, you know, soaks in all the PR. And
yes. Very specifically, Romero likes to kind of bask in the glory of being the Doom creator. So I haven't played it. I think I have my original Doom WAD sitting on my PC along with my Duke WAD and all that other shit. So I'll check it out. I believe it's a free thing. Did you see anything on when you're searching as he drops his gum out of his mouth, you filthy animal? I'm more on that to come. Not the gum. The sigil. It's sigil. S-I-G-I-L.
It's back in my mouth. We're good.
Good. S-I-G-I-L if you want to look it up.
Yeah, it's not like Doom spelled weird.
It's also a good Doom all spelled weird anagram. It's mood.
Mood.
It is important to note that this is a retro. It looks like the old school PC shooters. This isn't a sequel to Doom 2016.
Right.
This is old school PC. Yeah, Kevin, just gush about this. We're about 30 minutes. The Stardew multiplayer update is something that you've been clamoring for. Everyone's been clamoring for. It is coming out in the next few days, or it is already out, depending on when you're listening to this.
I was sitting here. I was thinking to myself.
Your ass started getting a little warm.
I'm like, self.
Here we are. Once again, self.
The world is a bad place. Bad things are happening in our world. In our country.
Consistently.
All the time. There are a number of things that could be done, that could happen to turn things around, to lift the blanket of anxiety that constantly smothers me in the bed that I lay in.
And what's your solution, bud?
Stardew Valley multiplayer.
That seems to be a good solution for a lot of people who just are like,
there's
fuck,
just
man.
Something nice. There's just something...
cathartic.
Yeah. Bucolic. Wow. About the game.
Oh, like,
there's
you like this? When me and Kevin get together, what I do is I do a $5 word, and then Kevin's like, fuck you, I got a degree, and throws out a $15 word, and then I'm like, I'm stuck on the show editing later. I'm like, who's that?
Bucolic. Bucolic's a perfect word for it, if you just look it up. If you want to look it up while I gush about Stardew, and then you can read it out.
We should do a show about, like, you could host where we talk about words.
All right, I'm cool with it.
Okay.
Super Wordcast.
Super Wordcast, New York Times crossword crossover.
But anyway,
it's a mouthful.
It's nice. It's one of those games that you can play. Like, you know how Tetris, like, reduces trauma and has proven to, you know, calm people with PTSD? I genuinely think that there is something about Stardew that's so wholesome that it's just this halo effect. That when you play it, it's just like, it's a flow state. Maybe it's just me. Maybe that's just my game.
I feel like Stardew strikes the nice balance between the cutesy, or I guess the relaxed nature of Animal Crossing with the, not repetition because that gives it a negative spin, but the kind of, you can go about your business, feel like you're progressing, but it's not too intensive that you can kind of let your body relax and just not zone out. But it's one of those games that strikes the nice balance between being easy and enjoyable to play and constantly just being nice. There's nothing bad about it, really.
And it's less about sheer skill. And more about just being consistent, a consistent player.
Now, I'm going to stop you here, Kev, because hours of Super Gamecast 64 have spent hyping up Stardew. What does this multiplayer thing bring? We talked about it before.
Yes.
It's local play, online.
So here's the thing. I thought that our Lord and Savior, Eric Baroni, a.k.a. Concerned Ape, was going to just give us a really great netcode for multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah.
So not only did he do that online netcode for multiplayer, you have a local play from 2 to 4 separate switches.
Dude, fuck me.
You can either use an existing farm or build a new one, and then everyone gets their own little, like, shack on your property.
I might have to buy this now for Switch.
Dude, please, God, play this with me. The other thing is, he teased a bunch of new hidden content in the game that he dropped in there.
Nice.
New events, new secret collections that pop up. I don't know if you've heard, like, the, or if you remember me talking about it. There's these little creatures called Junimos that live in the in the dilapidated town hall. And the whole point of the game is to get these collections, to get the Junimos to rehabilitate the town hall.
That's the Animal Crossing side of it.
Exactly. So now there's a secret collection that unlocks when you get a particular item. There's new events. There's new dialogues. There's all this new stuff that he's packing in there. And it just, I mean, we all knew it was coming, but it just came out of nowhere this week.
This is still one dude, yeah?
Yeah, one dude.
We got it once again, man. We had our Indie Dependence Day where we celebrated indies, but disregarding the AAA and the really hard work that goes into games like Red Dead and stuff like that, you gotta give it up to these people who are so obviously passionate that, like Kevin said, he could have just delivered the bare minimum and people would have been exceptionally happy, because this is a free update for a single player game that was never meant to be multiplayer.
I mean, I've seen it as low as $15. I've spent $60+ on games that I haven't enjoyed half as much.
And
as
this was your game of the year in 2016.
Absolutely.
2 years later, you're getting brand new free content multiplayer.
Yep.
And it's just one dude doing it. It's astounding. Stardew Valley, you should buy just to support creative
and
minds like that.
Keep your eyes on, what's it called
Witchbrook.
Again? Witchbrook.
Is the same guy, right? I get Stardew Valley confused with the
Chucklefish?
Other. Yes.
I think they aren't the same guy.
Okay. There's a game called Witchbrook that is in the same vein of Stardew. You know, cutesy characters, you're going on an adventure, but it's a little bit laid back. But it takes place at a wizarding school. It's Harry Potter, but cutesy. You'll enjoy
it. Yeah, Witchbrook is Chucklefish. My mistake.
Okay, well, but still look at that game. It's not made by the guys who made Stardew Valley, but it's a cute game. Not a lot of information is known on that.
Stardew's published by Chucklefish. That's why you get the
Okay.
So, I mean, by the same producer, publisher, whatever.
I'm not gonna lie and say that I know a whole lot about this. You guys talked about it in the group chat, you and Tyler.
The word bucolic, by the way, means relating to the pleasant aspects of the countryside or country life.
Nice, dude. I could have used that in my Fallout review.
You like that?
Yeah. Bucolic, like mm-hmm. B-U-C-C-O-L-I-C.
B-U-C-O-L-I-C.
Ah, I added an extra C.
Yeah, you did.
I used the word bookended the other day.
Sook.
Shut the fuck up. That's a good one. I like the word bookended. So Monster Hunter World came out at the beginning of January. I remember us specifically saying, it'll be interesting to see if Monster Hunter World is one of those games that we completely forget about around Game of the Year, or if we're still like, number one. And both of those things are kind of true. It has definitely fallen further down my top 10 list.
It's been a long fucking year, man.
Dude. I remember 2017.
Black Panther came out this year.
Oh, shit. I have to do a top 10 movies that I saw. And I forgot I saw Black Panther this year.
Yeah, man.
I just want to say
how long 2018's been.
2017, we had an episode called The Best, Gaming's Best October. We talked about how 2017 was probably one of the best years of video gaming since 2007. I don't think that, I think 2018 beat it, and I think 2019 is continuing.
I think 2018 brought back good memories. I think 2018 was the year of renewed nostalgia.
Yes.
I think 2017 was the year of new IPs and new groundbreaking games.
We'll have lots of time to talk about this
In January. Yeah. We can't get into this.
But
now.
Monster Hunter World is a game that is now getting brought up around the end of the year because they released this Frozen. It's a DLC. It's a expansion,
yes.
Correct? It has Geralt of Rivia in it from The Witcher Man. Everyone likes The Witcher 3. Also, I hear that Thronebreaker, the Gwent game, that released on console and earlier on PC in the year. Gwent is Witcher. If The Witcher 3 RPG has a card game within it called Gwent, all right? There is a standalone RPG based around the card game that just released on consoles and was on PC earlier in the year. I hear it's fire. I only bring that up because Kevin is pretty into card games. And it's called Thronebreaker, The Witcher's Tale. I think it's $30 or $40. But if you're into card games like Hearthstone, look that up. So Monster Hunter World, Geralt of Rivia, Frozen stuff, new monsters. I don't know anything else behind that.
The White Wolf.
The White Wolf.
As usual, it's cosmetic stuff that you can build.
Okay.
Likely there will be, I know this for a fact, and Tyler knows, I wish he were here to mention it, but
now we know.
Tyler knows specifically, there's always an event monster that you farm for the event gear. So there's going to be a special, probably like a palette swap, but they always make the move set harder. The monster is challenging to fight. But it's an existing monster that they just reskin and you fight it for the gear to make yourself look like the White Wolf.
I don't think I'll go back.
Probably not.
To World, But goddamn, World was a good game.
It really was fun.
We're gonna have to discuss that. Spend a lot of time on that. Like where it falls. Either this is something I've been struggling with, and I mean, we're gonna you'll find out. But what falls in best RPG and what falls in best action this year has been really tough.
I genuinely think.
Would you smack me in the face if I told you that Assassin's Creed Odyssey is not an action game? It's an RPG.
No, I think I would agree with you.
Yeah, but it's really weird to have four JRPGs against Assassin's Creed Odyssey. We'll talk about it.
I think. So, I started playing, this is going to be a very, very out of left field statement, but follow me. I started playing WoW in 2006 when it first launched.
Yes.
Dropped off here and there, but pretty consistently played it for the past 12 years.
Yeah, I mean, I've played it on enough.
Diminishing returns, obviously. The longer it's gone on, the shorter I've played when I go back to it. Yeah. I still think I have logged more time on Monster Hunter as a franchise than I have with World of Warcraft.
Well, I mean, if there was two games I think that you've invested a good time of your... Like, I can't get this time back time. It is Monster Hunter.
Oh my god. I don't even want to look at my time played.
Mine is Rocket League and probably... Shit, I don't know. I spend way too much time on a lot of games.
I would say doubly so for Tyler and Rush and Jesse and all of
our other
friends.
Well, y'all, they used to get together with their 3DSs and just 12 or 13 hours straight.
Three of us lived together at the time that Monster Hunter 3 came out. And
I've seen some of these.
I started living with Tyler back when 3 Ultimate, I think, came out. And we would just get home from work and just play that until we went to sleep.
I remember coming over to the house. It was the night... After, or maybe the night of the launch, where you guys had gone in the morning and gotten it. And
we took off work.
You walk in, and you just see what looks like 5 grown men who have either run 3 marathons in a row, or have gotten beaten up by, like, maybe 10... You know that joke is like, do you think if a wave of 3rd graders came at you with a boss of a 5th grader every 5 waves? Like, that's what I feel like you guys went through.
Well,
you looked beat.
You probably, as soon as you walked in, it was probably very apparent that... there was probably a nice smellscape of just butt stank and flop sweat from just sitting. You know how, like, when you sit around for too long during the day, you just get sweaty for no reason?
Yeah, dude. I'm sweaty all the time, bro.
That, you know, that plus...
Monsters.
Whatever we were eating.
Cheeto dust.
I shit you not. I had one of the old school matte red 3DSs when that game came out, and I had to upgrade to the new 3DS... Because I broke the thumbstick with how much I played Monster Hunter.
It's those big man fingers. But Monster Hunter World, when is the deal? Is the DLC already out?
No, it's coming out soon.
Okay, so we'll have more about that. Tyler will talk about it next time.
Yes, he will.
Shit, we're already at like 40 minutes, boys and girls, and we have the Game Awards to cover. We do our own Game Awards, so disregard the Game Award. We're not going to talk about the actual winners.
Yeah,
and
we're
stuff
just
like that. I think
talk about the big
Game of the Year was God of War. I think Game of the Year was God of War. The best story was Red Dead.
Yep.
Honestly, in terms of the Game Awards and the actual awards themselves, I felt like they were quite well earned this year.
I really like how they included a lot of Dark Horse noms.
Yes.
Celeste being one of them.
Yep.
I love that Celeste was up there.
That's specifically one of the reasons I don't feel like covering all of the categories, or at least what happened, is because I feel like ours might actually match up in more than one category.
Right, right.
And I don't want people to think that we're just kicking off the Jeff. But anyways, besides the crazy amount of game announcements, the Game Awards was a nice... Usually it's a little ham-fisted, a little cringy, but decent. This year, I think I like the Game Awards more than... most award shows. I think this is the year that Jeff found his funding.
I was gonna say it's really great to see this little
Dorito Pope.
It's like an indie game awards. It's good to see it take off. Like, we're year 5 of it, right?
Two or three years ago, he was literally, you know, bending over the Mountain Dew stream, slurping it up while he was the Dorito Pope, bro. There was a 7-foot razor man, like a man who was a shaving razor, because Michelob Ultra, not Michelob Ultra, that's a beer.
Mach Ultra?
Yeah, Gillette, they were sponsoring it. So Jeff Keighley would go behind the stage, there's literally a standing razor man there, and he's like, all right, gamers, let's shave. It's like, what are you doing, bro? Get your funding elsewhere. So this year, it was a good year in terms of showmanship, in terms of, like, the show opened up with Reggie Fils-Aimé. Oh, I shouldn't have done this because I don't know all 3 of their names. The lead of Nintendo, the lead of Microsoft, and the lead of Sony, all 3 of them coming out and kind of just talking about how they love the game industry. And it's good to see kind of the camaraderie, and it was nice. But then between the slew of awards, there was a slew of announcements. Some more surprising than others. We're going to run down these and just kind of react to them as we go. Some are going to be more interesting or long than others, specifically for me. Kevin, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order.
Yes.
And also, it's a Switch exclusive coming out in 2019.
You know what else it is?
Gonna be bad?
An ISO.
Yeah, and if you just scroll down in your app feed there, Kevin falls asleep to ISOs.
I do.
Episode 115.
I do.
I liked Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1, Ultimate Alliance 2. I played them on the Xbox 360 with a bunch of friends online, and that's where hopefully the online service will be good. Hopefully it will be online, because Ultimate Alliance is all about playing with your friends
online. It strikes me as strange that they have such great source material to make a good game like this, and this ain't it.
Developed by Team Ninja, published by Nintendo, both single and multiplayer, supporting up to 4 players, says Kotaku. So, we'll see. I don't have high hopes, but it was a franchise I liked in the past. I thought they were going to announce the Avengers game, because the Russo brothers were there. Nothing about the Avengers game from Square Enix, but we got this. This actually, next one is one that I think I'm more excited for than I thought I was going to be. It is the new Far Cry game.
Yeah, no, I watched Far Cry New Dawn. I was digging that. I was like, oh, more Far Cry.
Here's the inherent issue with discussing this game is because the whole point of this game
is completely predicated on spoilers from the first, right?
Spoilers are from the fifth game.
Sorry,
Far Cry 5. What we'll say is that it takes place after the events of Far Cry 5. And it's... this is going to be rough. All right. If you haven't beaten Far Cry 5 and really want to, skip ahead 30 seconds starting now. At the end of Far Cry 5, a nuke goes off. This game takes place in the post-apocalyptic world that is caused by that nuke, and it looks kind of like Rage. There was a little bit of gameplay, some light trailer stuff, but basically it looks like Fallout, more action-y, less RPG.
And the interesting thing is, the first game, well, Far Cry 5 took place all in that same valley, and it seems like it's self-contained once again.
It feels like it's a Far Cry Primal, a spin on 5, but it has a lot of really cool colors and really, really awesome-looking stuff. Kind of like Rage, but we'll see. That comes out soon. I don't know if I have an exact date here. I have it on my calendar. I believe it's early, like Q2. So May, maybe, or maybe April. Far Cry New Dawn.
It'll be interesting to see how many of the resources they reuse. And I really hope they avoid doing that as much as possible. But I didn't think Far Cry 5 was that bad of a game that I wouldn't want to play more of something similar to it.
Basically what this is the Far Cry Primal of Far Cry 5. The issue with Far Cry Primal is they reused the map from 4. They didn't tell anybody, and the main game was just about crafting. What this is doing is reusing the map from 5, but very obviously tied into the story. They're not trying to hide the fact that it's reused assets, but the color scheme is definitely different. Supergiant, you know them? We're moving on. They made Transistor Bastion.
Yep.
Okay, they made a new game that is in early access right now on the Epic Game Store.
Is this, shit, what's it called?
I can give you a hint.
Yeah.
It's Greek Gods?
I just saw an ad for it today. A guy's got a sword on his shoulder.
Uh-huh, 4 words. Five letters.
I don't remember.
Hades. Right. So if you ever played Transistor or Bastion, they're ISO, kind of, but like they're action-adventure. They're not RPGs.
You want a little twist?
Yeah.
Bastion's one of my favorite games of all time.
Bastion is an excellent narrative game.
Didn't care for Transistor all that much.
I didn't play much of it. But this is, Bastion and Pyre developer.
Oh, Pyre.
They also made Pyre. Supergiant.
That was one I wanted to try.
This is, according to Kotaku, once again, I'm basically reading this off Kotaku because they're the best. Thank you. Let me see who actually put this together. Riley MacLeod, thank you for putting together this wonderful chronological list of what was released at the Game Awards. I don't want anyone to think that I am doing all this information getting on my own, even though I have the information. I just didn't put it together for
this
show.
This is like he's using the ROM of what he already saw.
Look, sometimes better journalists get the information out, and then you just put your own spin on it, and that's essentially what video game journalism is.
Good artists borrow, great artists steal, right?
No, I don't steal shit. I credit the people I talk about. There's a lot. That was this year, too.
Isn't the exposure enough for you? Like, isn't that enough? You want to get paid
That was
something?
This year where the kid did the Dead Cells review and completely copied it. Yeah. I forgot. 2018's been wild.
It's been a long year.
But anyways, Epic Games, they, you know, makers of Fortnite, Gears of War, Unreal Engine, they announced their new client for PC games. It's a competitor to Steam, and the Game Awards, they showed that they have a shit ton of exclusives. I'll just kind of insert this here. The reason the Epic Games Store is poised to mess up Steam is that they have a better deal for the developers. Like, if you put your game on Steam, on PC. I think Valve gets 30% and you get 70%. Epic Game Store, I think you get 85% as a developer. They only take 15% because they have the money to do this.
They're playing the long game.
Yeah, and that's what's going to get these big exclusive companies on board. It's obviously just started. There's a few early access games on there, like this Hades game that is a roguelike dungeon crawler, has themes of Greek gods and goddesses in it. That's on there right now. They showed a new Anthem trailer with a beta, or no, an alpha. We have a friend of the show who got into the alpha who remained nameless.
I heard somebody got hit with a pretty hefty NDA from that recently.
Yeah, so when you started up a thing, you get hit with this NDA, and then they ask you a survey. They give you the survey about, you know, how do you feel about microtransactions, et cetera, et cetera. So our source, they played it. They said that it has two or three missions of authored content that kind of introduce you to this world. There's open world stuff that are kind of patrols, a la Destiny. You know, you're walking around, you're shooting some dudes. There's numbers when you shoot people in the face. They said it's fantastic. It looks fantastic. It looks awesome. And that kind of confirms the sad other end of this, where they took a lot of the talent from the Mass Effect Andromeda team and put it on Anthem. They stole a lot of ideas that were supposed to be in Andromeda and put it into Anthem. So, disregarding the shitty game practices or the development processes, Anthem probably is going to look good and be fun to play. But that alpha is very, very limited. Did you like Crash Team Racing when that was a thing?
Dude, I played the shit out of CTR back in the day because I owned a PS1.
I did not. I was much more of a Mario Kart kid. I wasn't really...
That was my Mario Kart because I didn't have a...
I wasn't really a kart 64. Kid in general. I didn't play Mario Kart until, Double Dash. So, Crash Team Racing, I played a little bit of. This was rumored to be remade. And then at the Game Awards, they came out and said, it's coming out, Xbox, PS4,
Looks Switch. Like a really good remake, too.
It looks like, graphically, like the Insane Trilogy, they're really putting in the time and the effort into it, which is nice.
The thing that struck me, and this is something that you can, you can hear us discuss more on our old episode of remasters versus remakes, one of our better ones.
Yeah. Shit, is that still up?
Who knows? It looks like...
You'll be able to get it on the website.
I was watching it, I was looking at it, and I'm like, this is a really great up-res. Like, it's not even an up-res, it's a complete graphical overhaul.
Yes.
But I was wondering how true to the original gameplay they're going to make it, because... And that's something maybe we should look at exploring in a future episode. How games have evolved in terms of convenience.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of shit that we put up with back in the day because we didn't know it could get better.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So I'm wondering how much of CTR is going to feel like old CTR and how much it's going to feel like CTR informed by new racing games.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And we can have that discussion too when we do our best remake or remaster of the year category, because a lot of that stuff rings true for Spyro and other remasters. But this Crash Team Racing remake will be coming out in the early summer, June 21st, as planned right now. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say $40.
Probably.
This is a big one. This is the one that a lot of people were talking about.
Oh, especially with today's news. I don't know if you heard the... Go ahead and introduce it, and I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. No, this is your information is new information to me. Obsidian. They made... The devs there were the original creators of Fallout, Fallout 1 and 2. They also made Fallout New Vegas, considered one of the best...
They cheekily informed us of that in their intro trailer.
They released...
Definitely worth a watch.
They released the trailer for their brand new game called The Outer Worlds, which is basically space Fallout. They wanted to make a new Fallout... Bethesda was like, nah, we're going to make Fallout Online. And so, yeah, as Kevin pointed out cheekily, the trailer says from the makers of the original Fallout and Fallout New Vegas, they very specifically want you to know that they didn't make any of the bad ones. comes a game that looks a lot like Fallout.
It looks like Fallout and Borderlands had a baby.
Fallout and Borderlands had a baby. The graphics are clean and nice, very colorful, lots of cool creatures. First-person shooter, probably with RPG elements because it's Obsidian. Not a whole lot of gameplay, but damn, it's impressive. Never. I don't want to hype it up for myself. It's going to be coming out sometime next year, so we'll have it soon enough if delays aren't happening.
For someone who's not super into sci-fi, this looks very compelling.
Yeah, I remember you saying specifically last episode, I don't like sci-fi, but I thought this is another one that might be...
I don't dislike it, it's not my first choice, but...
I think you also like, what's the one from CD Projekt Red, The Witcher People?
Oh,
Cyberpunk 2077.
That's right.
I think you like that one as well. What's this
new
stuff?
The thing
though?
That they mentioned today is that with 100% certainty, Outer Worlds will have no microtransactions.
Nice, dude.
Which is kind of a... I mean, Well, I hate that, this that we is have the to state say of it. Games.
We have to say it.
Yeah, I hate that this is the state of games. But for a dev to ship a game saying specifically no microtransactions whatsoever, it's kind of brave now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean EA tried to do that with Anthem. But we know they'll put it. We trust Obsidian. Don't do us wrong here, Obsidian. So hell yeah, no microtransactions. Single player focused. It seems to be. I don't think there'll be a whole lot of online multiplayer, but who knows? Speaking of online multiplayer, or at least people who know and have instituted online multiplayer, Hello Games. They made No Man's Sky, the game that was really really bad and then got kind of good.
I still want to try it. I just don't want to pay for it.
No Man's Sky Next is actually pretty decent, from what I understand. And that is the big update, the physical re-release, where they're like, we fixed it. Hello Games, they made other indie games in the past. Joe Danger, specifically. One of my favorite games. It's like Trials, but not as serious. They're making something, it's called the Last Campfire. It looks very, I don't want to say Pixar. It's just one of those like whimsical little fantasy tales.
Sounds kind of like Don't Starve, but not scary.
Yeah, and it has like these little, I think they're like little mage people or something. They're like kind of in robes. The trailer is coming in and out of my brain. They're calling it a quote Hello Game short end quote. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just a short experience. Maybe it's a little indie game.
Something they'll expand upon in the future. Who knows?
It looks cute, though. So if you're interested in some, like, maybe just cute kind shit. Of exploration-based with a cool, whimsical thing, The Last Campfire by Hello Games. Besides that, you know, there was some other stuff. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds has a new map. I don't really care. I haven't played PUBG in a long, long time. There was the Ark developer. They made Ark Survival. They announced that game Atlas, which is coming out on Xbox next year. I didn't see a lot about it. I kind of missed the trailer. I'm not a huge fan of crafting games, as I've said multiple times in the past. Kevin, did you see anything?
Nothing specific. I've been meaning to go back and try some of those games that have been redeveloped. Rust was like my first love when it comes to crafting games.
Yes.
Conan had some good bones, but didn't really do a whole lot with it. But I've heard
Conan Exiles is rough.
I've heard it has since become pretty good.
It's gotten decent. There's still some of the issues with Conan, but we'll have to see. This Kotaku story points to it being a MMO survival game with pirates and also dragons with a map, quote, 12,000 times the size of an Ark server.
Wow.
So that'll be interesting. Hopefully that's authored content. Probably won't be. Ashen. Do you remember Ashen?
I do not.
It was a stylistic game that kind of looked like a Dark Souls-y thing, but it looked like the characters kind of made out of clay. It was an early E3 thing, I think. 2014 is when they first announced it at E3. They came out during the Game Awards and said, hey, it is on the Epic Games Store, it is on Xbox Game Pass, and it's out now. I got a chance to play it, but I hear it is actually fantastic.
Better late than never, man.
And this is why we do our Game of the Year stuff in January, because it is unfair to disqualify games like this, just because they're releasing late, in my opinion. Dragon Age 4. I'm just going to say that. BioWare was like, hey, here's a very short teaser.
It was a tease if there ever was one. If you never played a Dragon Age game before, me, you would have had no idea it was a Dragon Age teaser if you didn't see the title.
No release date, no word title. The words Dragon and Age were not even in the thing. It was just like an emblem.
I don't think there were words at all.
You found me, it's a reference to Inquisition, I believe. The end of Inquisition. And then hashtag the Dread Wolf Rises. So that's one of the
means nothing to me.
Yeah. Dragon Age 4, /2020. If I had to put my bets on it, I think it's a next-gen title, but that's a thing.
It's going to be a big one.
The Stranger Things. Remember when we talked about Stranger Things Mobile? It actually was our runner-up for 2017's Mobile Game of the Year because we forgot about it until the very end, and we couldn't decide between Underhand and Million Onion Hotel.
I forgot about those.
Those are three great games. If you want three fantastic mobile games, Million Onion Hotel for like weird arcadey Japanese craziness, Underhand for some card-based creepiness, and Stranger Things, the game for like an 8-bit Stranger Things adventure. Coinciding with the new Stranger Things season, Stranger Things Season 3, which will be releasing in 2019, they are releasing Stranger Things 3, the game, which is weird, because there is no Stranger Things 2, the game, or, I don't know, the naming convention's weird, but anyways, it's the same people who made the mobile game, but it's coming out for consoles. It is a NES, or Super Nintendo reminiscent, like, action adventure with light RPG elements. We'll have to see. There was some gameplay, but they didn't really go too deep into the mechanics of it, but hey, you like them little boys who are like, there's monsters in the sky. Oh, shit. 11, 12, 13. That was my Stranger Things bit.
Good stuff.
Then I shit my pants. Then at this point in the Game Awards, I shit.
Then cleaned up and went back.
No, I just continued to shit.
Oh, okay.
Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah.
For those who don't know,
that was awesome.
For those who don't are not aware of my fighting, I played Mortal Kombat 9 so much to the point where I would go to tournaments and beat people with a Babality, which is beating them without blocking once, without looking at the screen. It was fucking stupid. Mortal Kombat 9 was the only fighting game I was ever good enough at to win tournaments, and so I took it to the nth level, and me and my younger brother, Dan, previous guest of the show 30 minutes ago, loved this game. We've been hearing rumors of it. The creator of Mortal Kombat comes out on stage and goes, "Hey, I'm going to announce the nominees for Best Sports and Racing Game." And then all of a sudden, Mortal Kombat 11 trailer comes out. It looked crazy. And the craziest part about this is that there was a leak a few days ago that I was unaware of, but it is basically now confirmed, because in the leak they said, "Here's the full roster of the game, and the pre-order character will be Shao Kahn." And then when you look at the full trailer, not the one that was shown at the Game Awards, the pre-order character is Shao Kahn. And the story, I guess, go ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to know the potential story of Mortal Kombat 11, the setup, starting now, is Raiden has created a new timeline, so people, the gods don't get all crazy and kill everybody, but the elder gods of Mortal Kombat are mad at Raiden for creating a new timeline. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. So they send all the original Mortal Kombat characters into this new timeline to kill everybody.
Nice.
So the roster is essentially all the OG characters, you know, fan favorites from across the series, and then like five or six new ones.
Well, that's why the trailer consisted of him fighting Scorpion.
Raiden kills Scorpion, who looks like a new Scorpion.
And then and then old Scorpion shows up.
And just kills him in like one hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, once again, leak, rumor, might not be true, but
we did see that, like, bald hourglass.
That's the kind of points of the time travel idea.
Yeah.
Rumored modes are, you know, your standard ladder modes, a challenge tower, a multiverse, kind of we saw in Injustice. So that'll be cool. Coming April 23rd, global release, regardless of region. And then I kept shitting because Psychonauts.
Oh, yeah.
Psychonauts, they released their trailer. I see now here that Kotaku didn't even put that on here. Shame on you.
That's strange.
Yeah, considering it was probably the first gameplay trailer of Psychonauts 2.
Yeah.
Psychonauts 2. Tim Schafer. Double Fine.
The story I like to recount, and I've done so multiple times on the show, but I'll give you the brief summary now.
Keep going, babe. It's good.
I love Psychonauts so much that I insisted upon dragging my 40-pound Xbox. It wasn't 40 pounds. But
it's like 20.
For like a 12-year-old, it was full. It was really, really heavy.
Yeah.
Dragged that shit all the way down to New Jersey for my summer vacation and proceeded to spend as much time as possible replaying that game in my bedroom.
I brought my Xbox to a elementary school trip. Not elementary school. I was just in elementary school with my best friend. We went to Michigan to go to a camp. A cabin by a lake. Jeez, it sounds like a horror movie. It was just like a family vacation. I brought my Xbox, we played Halo 2 and Psychonauts. Psychonauts is fantastic. If you've never
played
it, it's about a young kid named Rasputin Equato who finds out he has psychic powers, so he goes to a psychic summer camp where he learns to train with his brain and use his telekinetic powers for good, evil, You invade people's brains. It's very creative, very whimsical.
It's one of those...
Psylai.
It's one of those really great... Like, when you look back at video games, you can mark the late 90s, early aughts by this style of game.
This is one of those ones, early aughts.
Yeah, like it's an overworld, you run around 3D, like you're in a contained area, but there are a number of things you can do in that area.
And the worlds that you go into are the professors or the teachers, whatever you want to call them, at the camp counselors, their brains.
Right.
You're going in them and those are the worlds. Psychonauts 2 takes place outside of the summer camp. He's joined the Psychonauts, the crazy, you know, not crazy, but they use their telekinetic powers to do spy stuff. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
That is sometime next year as well. 2019 keeps piling up. Don't forget, new Animal Crossing for the Switch next year.
Oh.
Don't want people to forget that hype. And then a few short things here as we'll move into games. Fortnite has
new creative mode.
Yeah, they have the new creative mode where you can kind of make your own map. Well, not make your own map, but
move over Minecraft.
Yeah, exactly. The Minecraft for Fortnite, and then what they'll be doing is taking cool creations they see and featuring it in an area they call the block, which has replaced the area in the game previously known as Risky Reels. It is essentially just a blank space where they will take user-created content they find and, you know, upload it globally for people to play and see. So that's cool. And then I guess the final thing really was that Smash Bros., you know, Super Smash Bros., That's a game that came out.
Did you see that comic somebody put out where it was like, it was the little mail carrier from Animal Crossing that always gets the letters mixed up?
Yes.
The little pelican. And he's like, he's standing in front of Waluigi, and he's like, I had a letter for you here somewhere. And the next panel is Joker with the letter in his hand.
So those who don't know, Joker from Persona 5, he's the main character in Persona 5, the highly stylized JRPG in the renowned Persona series, will be making his way to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate via the DLC pass. He's the first fighter we're going to get. I like this.
I'm gonna poo-poo it only because Smash used to be all characters, like, cartoony characters.
Yeah, now it's, like, 14 Fire Emblem characters.
And now it's a bunch of, like, anime dudes.
They got back to it with like, Duck Hunt and Incineroar with a Pokemon. Like,
I know, but it seems like it's taking Smash Brothers and elevating it to a level of seriousness that I would have disliked as a kid.
I agree. I think at this point I have been removed from Smash Bros.
I don't mind it as
Smash
an
Bros.
Adult, but, like, I don't know.
We'll see.
At least it's not another fucking Fire Emblem character.
That's, at the end of the day, that's what I'm thankful for. No Fire Emblem characters.
That being said, I hope that also points to a P5 Switch release.
That would be fucked.
I
want to
play
sweet.
It so bad. I don't have a PlayStation.
I have a PlayStation. It's like 120 hours. I don't have time for that. I just did that with Red Dead. I guess with that said, do you feel like taking a break real quick? You want to walk around a little bit? Maybe get some legs in you? We got the games to go. What do you want to just keep trucking through? It's up to you, bud.
Let's truck.
All right, let's truck. And keep trucking. Here we go. Let's just jump from news to games with Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I know, Kevin, specifically, you've only played a few levels of the World of Light mode, which is the adventure mode. You were just playing some of the classic mode. And you have obviously, both me and you and Tyler, we all were hanging out at Tyler's house with a slew of other friends on release day. And we all smashed together. How are we liking this?
I'm digging it. I gotta say, I like Classic more than World of Light.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played a ton of World of Light, so that's kind of an uninformed opinion.
Luckily, I'm like 90% through, and I can extrapolate on that. But
I'm feeling like there are some priority shenanigans happening. I haven't really played enough of it to really distill who's bullshit and who's not.
I hear that there's reports of input lag across the board because of the hardware.
I could see that. Online is a little dodgy. Everybody else is saying they had problems with it. I didn't.
Here's the thing with me is that I played one match of online. It was a 2v2 matchmaking, you know, so like, I just want to play up against randoms. We won. And I was like, I'm never playing online again until I finish the story mode. But I wanted to play in private matches with friends. It was at like 4 or 5 in the morning Eastern time. So not a lot of people were playing, but I went to a private match with my buddy and had zero lag.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
There are a lot of people complaining about lag. I personally haven't experienced it. The only thing that I and my friend Jesse both experienced was a little bit of frame rate lag, actually.
Yeah, you can see that.
It wasn't really network lag.
That was more of what I had in that matchmaking match. I can see if you have 4 people or 8 people versus, like, 1v1, it's inherently going to be a little bit more boggy. But I had, when I was going in, I was expecting it to be a fest of lag from what Super Smash Bros. Brawl was on the Wii. And it's definitely a step up from that. Not perfect, but I don't feel bad paying $20 a year for the online here. That said, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to this game. There's multiple modes. You know, you have pretty much everything you've ever wanted. All-Star Smash, Century Smash, 100-Man Smash, like so many different modifiers to create your own custom game. You know, you can make it only Pokeballs, and everyone is 10% tiny and sudden death. There's a plethora of multiplayer options. You can really play on, it has every stage, every song, every character. This is the ultimate version of Smash Bros. But the new stuff is the World of Light thing. I feel like we'll talk about all this at Game of the Year, and specifically, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds with Tyler.
Without Tyler, yeah.
World of Light is essentially the idea I had for Overcooked 3 before I had a chance to get on the podcast and say it. You start off with Kirby. You have to reawaken all of the other rosters, or all of the characters on the roster. Well, not all of them, but a good chunk of them. And you do so by going around a Mario-esque overworld, meaning you go from stage to stage, you're following these paths, and you're fighting themed characters. So you're collecting these assist trophies, which are notable characters from other games, like you have Cloud from Final Fantasy, or, you know, the Link from Link Between Worlds, and they all have their different ratings, and they give you a certain amount of star power or team power, and it's essentially a small RPG in that sense, where you're running around, if you win a fight, you earn that card, you can upgrade that card by spending snacks that you can buy in the little in-game stores, but basically, it's just a way to contain like 300 or 400 themed fights, where you're maybe fighting against a Mii fighter who specifically has the costume to make them look like a character they didn't include. It's cool, but eventually, unless you change the difficulty and turn it up, you might find it a little bit easy. I was playing a normal difficulty about 10 hours into the 20-hour experience. I was able to kill most things, or finish most fights in like 10 seconds. You played decently far into it. You're saying you prefer classic mode?
Yeah, I like that classic mode is kind of tailored to the character you choose.
Yeah, so classic mode, those, remember, it's basically the OG. You pick a character from the roster, and you fight against, like, six people, do a bonus game, and then a last person. What, like Kevin alluded to, each character has their own custom-crafted thing. You played Incineroar there, yeah?
I did.
Who was the first person you fought as Incineroar?
The first person I fought as Incineroar,
who's the fire Pokemon, he fights like a wrestler,
was...
This was like...
Ganondorf.
Okay. So there you go. He's got a brawly thing. Yep. The Young Link one. Like, I played Young Link's. His is, like, you fight against Zelda. You have a fight where it's against four different Toon Links that all look like the Four Swords Toon Links. So they're all themed after, I guess, what that character would be doing. You know, Mario, you fight through the Mario roster. I guess Jigglypuff is all the characters from Super Smash 64.
Ah, that's sweet.
But generally what this means, when you think about it, is 76 different ladder matches that are custom tailored to the character. I guess the last thing I'll say, unless you want to talk specifics on different characters, is that regardless of if you're a huge fan of Smash Brothers, a returning fan, like, I basically skipped Smash on the Wii U. I played it on 3DS, but it's, you know, it's the same, but not the same. This is fantastic. If you don't like Smash, it's not going to pull you over. There's right. not a ton of new content. You know, there's like 10 or so new characters, 5 new stages. They're good. And the new content is mainly the classic mode and the World of Light. But goddamn if there isn't just so much stuff in this game.
I got one major complaint, and that is the Echo Fighters.
Yeah, they kind of feel like, meh.
Yeah, like I was under the impression that Echo Fighters are going to be similar kits, but different enough. And they're not. They're just the same thing with a different... It's like a reskin. You should have just made them a skin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe tightened it up a little. Well, when you get into like the in-depth and the complexities that we'll see from the Smash community,
yeah.
I'm sure those small differences will make the difference in the tier list.
Samus and Dark Samus. Exact same kit.
But to a casual player, you don't really care.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's ultimately, I think everything we're going to have an issue with this is nitpicks.
Yeah.
Until I've played through all of World
of
Light.
But that's how you know it's a good game.
Yes. It's good. It has everything you want from Smash Brothers. It has a shit ton of content. And just, yeah, when you start the game, there is 720 audio tracks to listen to. And you can continue to unlock them. When I'm talking about these character assist cards you get, there is 1,300, I believe. And it's really cool to see all the different characters, and you can like upgrade the cards and stuff. Super Smash Brothers, highly recommend. We'll talk about it during Game of the Year for sure, and we'll talk about it when Tyler comes back for the Christmas episode or maybe the speedrun episode. I'll still be playing it. We already talked about Fallout 76 during the news. I just wanted to say, yeah, I reviewed it. I stopped playing it. I got like half through the map, and pretty damn far into that main quest. I beat like the main thingy, and if you're interested, wait till after they fix it, to be honest. Otherwise, I would take a pass on it. Here's one very good for the holiday season: Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. Did you play any of these, Tyler? Or not Tyler, Kevin? Sorry.
I would love to, but again, with the amount of games that were coming out, I could not afford it.
This is a nice game for both veterans and newcomers to the series, because what it does, it takes the original Pokemon adventure and makes it super easy. So for me, it's great.
You want to let me borrow it?
It's not mine to let you borrow. You can ask Dan. It's Dan bought Pokemon Eevee, and I was like, all right, let me borrow that. Because Dan beat it 40 hours, like, one weekend. Dan loves Pokemon. I should have him down here talking about it. But I picked it up. If you play the original Pokemon, yeah, you're in Kanto. You're going to all the gyms, trying to beat the Elite Four, catch them all. There's 151 Pokemon, but they've included the Alolan versions from the Pokemon Sun and Moon. Some of them, at least. But what's different about this is, depending on what you buy, Eevee or Pikachu, you have Eevee or Pikachu following you around. And those characters are inherently more OP or overpowered than anything else because they're meant to be your main. They're meant to be the character that, if you're a kid playing this, that's the one you're going to like, you're going to use the most. The thing is that Pikachu has 3 moves that he can learn. Eevee, since she has like a bajillion evolutions, has like 9 moves you can learn, and they're all one-hit kills.
Yep.
So for me, this game is, I have made it halfway through the game. I just beat Sabrina, who is the fourth or fifth of the 8 gym leaders. I just walk around, I come up to a fight, I hit the sizzly fire, or whatever it's called. One-hit kill. That was fun. If I want to catch some Pokemon, it's not, you don't have to fight them, you're just aiming or throwing with your Joy-Con, kind of Pokemon Go style. And that's cute, but you can kind of avoid it. It's just a nice stroll, dude. There's passion in it. The music is great. They're all like cool, spicy remixes. Lavender Town sounds awesome. They've changed what I like the most. They've kind of changed the story where Gary isn't your rival. Like every time you bump into Gary, instead of him being like, "Hey, Matt, you piece of shit, I'm gonna beat you up," he's like, "Hey, bud, let's both go try this. I hope you become the Pokemon Master too." And like on one hand, I'm like, "Come on." I like Gary being...
Smell you later.
Yeah, like, no smell you laters. He's always like, "It's a good thing you're the best Pokemon master." Like, eh. Like, but...
Just suck my dick already, dude.
Pretty much. But Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, great. Whether you're a fan of the series or it's... I would say it's probably better for newcomers to the series. You know, if you have a kid who's 8, 9, I don't know, when kids like RPGs or can handle those, buy your kid Pokemon, damn it. Do you want to talk about Warframe on Switch? Because that came out. Warframe is a thing. Tyler is into it, more so. You want to just wait for him?
I mean, he might have more that he wants to say. I will say it's a fantastic port. Feels good.
Warframe has been worried.
I was worried that even though it's not a hugely like technical game, that the graphics and the hardware might be a little... Or the graphics and the software might be a little much for Switch, but...
It holds up.
It holds up.
Hell yeah.
It seems like there's crossplay.
Hell yeah.
Because there are people in chat talking specifically about people who are playing on Nintendo Switch.
Nice.
So I do believe there is crossplay. I don't know for sure.
It's Warframe.
Yeah, I mean, Warframe is like, to me, it's like the Aldi version of Destiny.
Yeah, it's a third person.
It's still good. It does the trick. It's not in any way derisive of the source content. But, you know, it's not the classic thing you're looking for. Like,
as far as free-to-play games go, it's one of the better.
Oh, it's amazing for free-to-play.
Yeah. There's some annoying grinding parts, but hell, you're gonna get that shit in MMOs anyway.
I think one of the biggest complaints is that they spend all this time focusing on, you know, finding the Warframe that suits you best.
Yeah.
And grinding to get the parts for that Warframe, which usually require you to fight through all of the planets in the solar system.
Grind.
Which get to be hard. Then you finally get your Warframe, and it's like, okay, now what? And you already went through all the content to get to that point.
So you're almost better off.
Yeah, from what I understand, there's very little endgame. You're almost better off just buying your Warframe outright from the get-go so you learn how to play it and enjoy it.
While you're doing all of the content?
Right, right.
Well, there you go. Whether you're a Nintendo Switch owner, a Xbox owner, I believe it's on PlayStation as well. I think it's hit all three at this point. You can now play Warframe, like it was a third-person, kind of mech-based, Destiny-esque shooting game with some grinding elements. I'm happy to hear that it runs well. That was my initial response, is that Warframe is a decent-looking game. I wonder how it runs on the Switch, especially in handheld mode.
Yep, runs very well.
Holds up. Let's talk about this game. This is a cute damn game. We got a code for it the other week, and I didn't get around to playing it until last night. Floor Kids. Floor Kids is a game that feels like it was out on something else, and now it's out on Xbox One. It is a very small indie game. I feel bad for not looking up the developers and stuff. So here's me stalling while
I'll vamp while you do that. Floor Kids looks like a rhythm game. Is it a rhythm game, Matt?
Yeah, dude. It's very, very much a rhythm game through and through. I kind of wanted Tyler to be here to talk about it because Tyler loves himself.
He does love rhythm games. It's got this cool little comic book style to it. It's kind of like hand-drawn.
Did you play it or did you see it?
I saw it.
This was originally on Steam for $20. I believe it's going to be about the same on Xbox One. That's what it was out originally.
Looks like a little dance-off contest.
That's exactly what it is.
There you go.
Floorkids.com. Let's hopefully that's the game and not kids that are just on the floor. this is on Switch, Steam, PS4, and Xbox One. And it is developed by... Guys, you're making it hard for me to find out who made the game.
Crygames. No, I'm just kidding.
It's the animation is done by John John. It's a hand-drawn animation.
It is.
So it's cool. And the music is produced by DJ producer Kid Koala. I really wish the developer name was on here. There's some Merge, presented by Merge. Jesus Christ. I think this is just a small team of five people. Code by Hololabs. Beats by Kid Koala. Yeah, all right. Anyways, you get the idea. It's a small indie game. Like Kevin said, basically it is a dance-off. What it is you are a young boy or girl. You start off, I think you get like two characters to choose from, and you're on the streets, but it has like this comic book set up, like, hey, you gotta learn how to dance and stuff. And it is exactly what you said. It is a dance-off, but not as much a dance-off as it is, like, you're a b-boy, and you're just trying to impress the crowd around you. So you have, you know, a handful of different stages in the overworld. Each stage has three songs you play. You get a star rating depending on how well you perform. You know, standard rhythm game stuff. Depending on how well you perform, you can unlock new dancers. Each dancer has, there's four different styles of dance. They have what's called top rock, which is dancing while you're standing up. Down rock or downbeat, which is floor stuff. Power moves, which are like coffee grinders, the spinnies, you know, spinning on your head. And then freezes, which are freezing in place, doing something cool, holding a move. It's all very intuitive. Basically, you just tap any of the face buttons to the beat of the song. You can also tap into double time to be like do your moves quicker. And each dancer, you know, they have strengths and weaknesses in other places. Some are better at, you know, doing the power moves. Some are better at doing the top rock moves. But basically, you just tap along to this beat, and it's kind of really easy to transfer between the movesets. Like, if you want to do the stuff on the ground, you just press down on the analog stick and continue to tap. You want to do the stuff where you're standing up, press up on the analog stick, continue to tap. You want to do one of the spinny moves, spin the thing. You can vary it. If you want a variation on it, you hold right bumper and spin it the other way. It's all very simple.
On a scale of Parappa the Rapper to Theat Rhythm, where does this fall?
Dude, that's rough, because Parappa the Rapper and Theat Rhythm are...
Is it up there with them, I should say?
I guess it depends on what you want from it. I guess the thing, the worst I could say about it is it's repetitive, because you're constantly tapping.
So it's almost more like Soundstage on Mario Party
Yeah, it's like obviously better than that.
Fun, but it's very simple.
Yeah. A lot of the scoring, they score you in like five ways. Your freshness, like how you innovate, freestyle stuff, your flyness. Basically, there is room in there to do the Parappa thing where you don't necessarily follow the beat or do what seems to be what the game wants you to, but since it's stylized, you get high points. There's, you know, you get points for keeping on rhythm consistently. And then twice throughout the song, there is always this, I forget what they call it, but it's like a beat mode where a line, two lines of like 16 blocks come up. Yeah. It's kind of hard to imagine, but you have to tap specifically where the X's are. And it's like tap, 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 tap. And you tap really, really fast. So it's kind of like a freestyle section. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's that. You as you play and as you do the moves, you unlock their little move cards, and then once you have unlocked a move card for the character, you get another character, and they have different cool moves, so they're not all doing the same dance moves. There's a good variety of music. It's not just b-boy hip-hop. You know, there's some good jazz, some nice keys and stuff like that. Overall, I'm not going to say that the music is incredibly, incredibly catchy, at least that I wasn't like rocking out to it in the way that I was like Nidhogg and other games, but it is still good. I would say if you are somebody who is looking for a easier or maybe just not as complex rhythm game that's pretty straightforward but still fun and is cheap, dude, this is a good one. Like, it's I played the first two levels, so six stages, six songs, got 5 stars on all of them after a few tries because I felt compelled to go back. And although I don't really understand the combo system where you can link stuff together, doesn't really tell you very well what combos or what you have to figure out for yourself. The game is easy enough, and it's enjoyable enough to just kind of chill and play. So, Floor Kids. Check it out. I feel like it's a good game on Switch. A very good game on Switch, especially in handheld mode. Dude, that's kind of all the games. I feel like there was one other game that I played, and I played a lot of it, and I'm not remembering it. But that might just be, you know, the ROMs talking. did you play anything else? This specifically between the holidays and the game awards and just the flurry of announcements and all this stuff.
I played a lot of Warframe, and then that changed to Black Armory. And then
Destiny.
Yeah.
Black Destiny. Armory. Do you want to talk about how that is?
Well, considering since I started playing Forsaken when it launched back in what? September. August, September.
Yeah, yeah.
I got one exotic since then. And then last night I was farming that Aikilo shotgun from that escalation protocol, which is old content and probably means nothing to most of you.
Yeah, this probably sounds like word salad to a lot of you.
I've done that event probably damn near 30 times for that drop, and I finally got it last night, and then also got an exotic after that, which is like a really rare drop. And the night prior, Josh had taken my account for me and was trying to farm the shotgun and got me another exotic. So I don't know if they tweaked drop rates.
They did.
I don't know.
They did tweak drop rates.
Okay.
Well, specifically, my buddy told me about
it.
They changed
back them. To the good, good. I'm very happy with the... So they basically pivoted Destiny back towards the whole grind mechanic.
That's what I was going to ask you, because you historically like the grind of D1, but I've heard nothing but the grind is repetitive and not fun.
I'm not that far into it, so I can't give you that.
And that's the other twist of it, is that the Forge stuff. And...
I'm also someone who finds that interesting, because the grind is unique. And that sounds exactly like the opposite of what you said, and I'll explain why. Spoilers, I guess. The first thing you do is you find the Black Armory, you talk to the lady in the Black Armory.
She
gives you a frame, a balanced frame for a machine gun. You have to use your existing guns to kill Hive with a power weapon. Multi-kill Hive with a power weapon 25 times. Once you do that, it upgrades. Then another thing, you kill something else with this specific... So it's like, you have to do this very specific thing a number of times, which requires you... Like, for example, Josh and I went to the Leviathan, which is the old raid content that nobody really runs all that much anymore. And we farmed Cabal on the Leviathan because you had to get precision kills on Cabal for one of the grinds. So it's forcing you to go back to this old content that is admittedly beautiful and was very fun. And it kind of evokes like fun little like, hey, yeah, this is, it's fun for this time of year because you're looking back on what you did this whole year in Destiny 2, which I think is a cool little feature.
I think the whole thing that kind of bums me out about it is that when I did Forsaken, I did the authored content, and I wanted to get into the raid, but the raid, The Last Wish, which was, you know, the Forsaken DLC raid, was like a highlight level. It was like 580 or something.
I still haven't done it.
And then I heard that to do the Forge, which is like the new, if you want to call it, content, which is still reused content, but a new way of playing it, I guess that's like 600 or something stupid.
I'm finding that odd that they did that, but at the same time, they don't necessarily want to just blow their load on the first weekend. You
know, I feel that, but for me, I played Forsaken for 20 to 30 hours, and I feel like I shouldn't have to put in another 2 months of grinding, specifically when the only way to raise your light level is making it a lifestyle game.
I would argue that your issue is more with Forsaken than Black Armory in that respect, because I also found it very hard. As someone who played a lot more Forsaken than you did,
yeah,
I am only at like 560 now.
I think my issue is not Black Armory. I think standing alone Black Armory, from what I've seen, is a Curse of Osiris to, what was the second one? Warmind? Mm-hmm. It's in between there, in terms of quality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think my issue is that it has gone into the grind, which I don't prefer because I have to spend a lot of time on other games, and I don't have the time to put in the lifestyle. And at the end of the day, that's the fault is not on me. I didn't buy the annual pass. Kevin pointed up for it, and I always say, and this is the reason Destiny 2 won our Game of the Year last year, is that Destiny 2... And it's bare bones. We disregard the raid, disregard the DLC, is a 30-hour co-op first-person shooter that is fun to play and feels fun.
It's the best co-op I've played since Halo.
Just try to tell, what other big AAA game has a four-player co-op story anymore? Like,
I mean,
besides Borderlands, which is the last one to really do it.
Right. Bungie knows what they're doing when it comes to this co-op campaign stuff. And
So... Okay, I'm sad that maybe the light armor is a little, light level is a little bit high. The stuff isn't all brand new content, but I still got like 70 to 80 hours out of this game, and I'm happy as hell.
And friend of the show Craig always puts it best when, you know, he's got a very high pressure job, and some days I'm like, okay, so what do you want to do? He's like, dude, I just wanted to get online and shoot aliens with my friends.
And that's what Destiny's good for.
It's perfect for that. Yeah. It's so great for just unwinding, which is why I think it qualifies really well as a lifestyle game. It just might not be that you're somebody who enjoys that, or obviously you don't have time.
So. I like Destiny so much that I like Destiny 2 that I wish that it was continuously single player content, and I know that that's maybe not. They're probably trying to work on Destiny 3 at this point.
They are.
I don't think that it would be reasonable for me to expect them to do another 3 single player DLCs, or not single player, but quest DLCs.
I get the feeling that they're going towards kind of a Star Wars style narrative too, where it's like, okay, we've explored what the light does for Guardians.
Yeah, they're gonna
now we're
going to
look at the dark side of things.
I'm excited for
and
Destiny 3.
I think it'll
3.
Be cool.
I'm excited quite a bit. Ah, dude, 1:30, man. We're really coming up on that.
Oh, yeah.
I just got to remind myself to do the dark web thing and the goddamn Baby It's Cold Out. No, not Baby It's Cold Outside. The Last Wish Christmas. The Last Wish. That's a Destiny raid of Christmas stories music. Let's just do, yeah. You have a game fact for us, right?
I do.
All right. Trying to think of how we do things. Recommendations before we do social media stuff. We told you at the top of the show. Or so around the top of the show, you should read the book Masters of Doom. That's going to be both of ours. Unless you have another book that you were reading. Bird Box. Yo, Bird Box by Josh Malerman.
Oh,
the Netflix movie comes out. You can get it on audiobook or normal book. But read Bird Box by Josh Malerman. The Netflix movie will be coming out on December 21st. I hear it's okay. Or maybe bad. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I haven't really seen a lot of reviews. But it's a good book. And I'm sure you'll be hearing about it. So do that. Or Masters of Doom. Kevin, what's your book?
My book is The Blood of Elves.
Ooh, a nice fantasy.
Andrzej Sapkowski, I think his last name is. He's the guy who wrote the Witcher books.
Nice.
It's the first book in the Witcher series. And
liking it?
Yeah. I'm a couple chapters deep, and it's very good.
From what I understand, the Throne...
It's funny.
The Thronebreaker card game thing I was talking about is more based. I know Witcher is still based on the books, but
right.
You don't play as Geralt of Rivia in this card game.
Right.
I think it takes place within like the first Nilfgaardian War,
mm-hmm.
which is I think Witcher 1. I don't know.
The book really it reads like a screenplay or like a
ooh.
Not like a screenplay like a
I was gonna say that's Harry Potter cursed child shit. I don't
like
want
a
that.
Stage play. If that makes any sense. So like the start of the book opens with these different factions of people, of humanoids, sitting under this tree that's world-renowned for being a gathering place for travelers.
Fun.
And it's like, nobody fights under this tree because it's where everybody meets. And
then
so
one person starts fighting.
There's dwarves, and there's elves, and there's all these people, and they're recounting the events that led up to that quick little, like, prologue that you get with Geralt and this girl.
Does one of those. Here, we're going to start the story where it's interesting and
yeah,
then peel
and
it
then
back.
And then it peels back to this, like, gathering of people that are all having dinner and telling this story from their perspective. And it's
really
this
like
great,
that.
Boisterous, it's fantastic.
Oh,
it's
no, I,
so
I guess
well
I just,
done.
I don't really like the whole, start your story where it starts, not where it's interesting. Someone else has said that, I feel. Maybe it's, I don't know, but I agree with the sentiment. Witcher, Masters of Doom. A Watcher for you. Here, I got a TV show. If you have a movie, I mean, if you don't, Kevin, I have a movie because I've watched quite a few over the past weeks. But my TV show is Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Gauntlet, which is six or eight new episodes. I think it's six new episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000. They just riff on B movies. If you don't know what MST3K is, then I mean, yeah, watch half watch a minute or two of it and you'll understand. But it's great. I like it. It's quite good. It's on Netflix. You can watch it. It's like 8 hours all told. You got it? You got a movie?
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
So you'd like other people to watch it with you?
I would. Yes.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
No. Yes, but no.
I'm seeing that this weekend, baby. And Once Upon a Deadpool.
Sorry for Bothering You. I think it's called.
Yeah, dude, on Hulu.
Yeah,
that
I
want to
watch that.
That has the mans from Get Out.
Yeah.
Not the main mans, but the other mans.
And Dong Lover.
Yes, dude, that is a good. I've heard nothing but good stuff
yeah,
about that. It's like an indie movie that is a social commentary, but subverts your expectations, kind
yep.
of wacky and weird and goofy. Very colorful from the trailer that I saw. A lot of good use of colors. Shit, yeah, that's on Hulu. So if you want to, if you hit Netflix, watch Mystery Science Theater. If you hit Hulu, watch that motherfucking. I also heard Hold the Dark is really good.
Hmm.
Hold the Dark is made by the guy who made Green Room and Blue Ruin. Which is two of my favorite indie movies of all time. Because they're viscerally violent. I can't talk. Do the thing. And what else do we... something to play. Super Smash Brothers. Dude, I was in Walmart and they had one of those little, not little, but, you know, like half human sized arcade machines, the 1UP arcade machines that are like $300. And I played some Galaga on that. So try to find yourself some old Galaga. Just because I don't know. Go to your local Walmart and see if they have one of those.
A little easy to digest. I got a couple YouTube suggestions.
Nice!
Donkey released a really, really great video. He's been bouncing back and forth between his funny videos and his actually good reviews. And today was a really great video on how people artificially increase the difficulty in games by making things just have more health.
I feel bad because often people go to Video Game Donkey and they click the most popular videos and it's him screaming ridiculous stuff and then you miss like the really,
oh
really...
Oh my god.
He has one about The Shining.
He's got some of the best reviews and like just general takes on the industry in general.
He's a smart kid. He's a
very smart guy. And that just shows in his comedy, I'd argue, even if it's not your cup of tea.
JonTron put out a new video too.
The other one I would suggest is... another video game centric one is Gus Johnson. Just released one today, or maybe it was actually earlier this year, about these two brothers who are trying to kickstart a Bible game.
Two brothers.
The Tornado Twins is their name.
Damn.
It's fantastic. Absolutely hilarious. And he also does a really great one. Again, he's delving more into these like introspectives, which I think are fun, about mobile games and how they're the worst monetization platforms for YouTube.
Not wrong. He's definitely not wrong.
So
yeah. I think we came here and did what we came to do.
We did.
I think we did a solid one without our boy Tyler. It was rough. You know, I missed those quirky quips.
I miss Tummy.
Oh shit. Should we have done like a it's not the Christmas episode.
Nah, not yet.
Guys,
you got a week to workshop that.
You have a week to workshop.
You're
the big ideas boy. As we move towards the end of the year, I said we were going to talk about what's happening next year. As we mentioned on the website, or not on the website, on the podcast last time, we are working on a website. More details to come. We will be launching that around season 5. A lot of cool stuff to check out there. But... coming up here for the rest of the month, really nothing much coming out, but depending on when you're listening to this, Forza Horizon 4's Fortune Island DLC released on Thursday the 13th, or is releasing on Thursday the 13th, if you're into that. But January is going to be crazy. Not as crazy as February, but January we have Super Mario Bros. U. Remember that? The deluxe version for the Switch coming out. Resident Evil 2 and Kingdom Hearts are that last week of January. And then February is absolutely nuts. You got Trials Rising, Crackdown 3, Far Cry, New Dawn, Jump Force, Anthem, Metro Exodus, Lego Movie 2. And then it just continues into March where you got Devil May Cry, The Division 2, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice. More and more and more to go. So, 2019 is looking great. 2018 has been great.
Yep.
We'll discuss it more in the coming episodes. Social media. Yeah, my brain was like, what do we do here? If you want to email us, sgc64mail@gmail.com. If you want to join the Facebook fan group, where everyone's talking, everyone's having a good old-fashioned time, that is, just type in Super Gamecast 64 in your Facebook bar. You'll either come across the page or you'll come across the group. You'll know which one it is if you use Facebook. Join the group. I've seen people following the page and liking the page.
Yes.
Thanks for that. But it's not where people are right now. I could update it if you guys want, but I kind of like the group where it is. Instagram @SuperGameCast64. If you want to see my stuff, I'm constantly posting video game pictures as I am on SuperGameCast64. It's @Amazon_XD. Twitters. If you want to talk to me on Twitter, it is @SGC64Matt.
I'm @GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
And the official show Twitter is @SuperGameCast64. I think we've kind of done it all, huh?
I want to throw out there real quick, a number of people have been asking about, like, playing Smash with us and things like that.
Yeah, dude.
If you want, we have a Discord. We'll post it. We'll pin it.
Yeah.
That would be the best way to get us locked in.
TBH, like, the Discord is not all that hopping because trying to decide if we want to do Discord up front, if we wanted to do...
We also kind of jumped on it before it became a social website.
Yeah.
We've been on Discord for a few years, well before it became, like, the move.
We're kind of hip like that.
It's not to be a hipster about
just
it. It's just
shit, bud.
We used it as a way for the three of us to communicate before it became something that people realized
was
like,
annoying.
Like Twitch streamers and stuff like that have their own Discords and shit like that. So,
there's a Discord. People popped up in there and been like, "Hey!" And like 2 weeks later, I'm like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, we'd love to have some communication in there, and like we can set up a channel for, you know, if people want to play Smash, we can set up arenas and exchange
all sorts of fun. Just generally speaking, next year, specifically season 5. Yeah, for those who maybe are unaware of how we do the seasons, we always take a short break, maybe, you know, a month or a month and a half. I also saw something flying around here. If that's what you just saw.
No.
Oh, I thought it was like a bug. Anyways, we take like a month break or so after Game of the Year stuff, so we can just kind of enjoy a month and then we come back in, you know, March or late February.
I think maybe we should come up with some sort of contest or something like that for that month.
We'll talk about there's a lot of things that are going to be happening in season 5 with both how you can interact with the show.
Yeah, we want more audience interaction,
so. you'll see there is some fun shit that people in our group specifically will enjoy, because, you know, people like to post stuff. And yeah, you guys will enjoy it. It's a good time to start listening to Super Gamecast 64. Oh, iTunes, if you leave a review, the Review Robot 2K12-3000 read it out on the show. I haven't checked iTunes reviews in a while. To be honest, I don't really care about them as much as I used to, because I just like our community. But it always helps. It helps to see the iTunes. It helps our ratings or whatever the hell. I don't know how iTunes works. Yeah, you have a game fact for us.
I do.
Let's close this out.
You know everybody's favorite animated sailor?
Yeah, Popeye.
Yes. Do you know what he has to do with Mario?
Oh, shit, I do, but I'm not going to even try.
So, Nintendo tried to cash in on the Popeye hype, mm-hmm, by making a Popeye game.
Yes, he did.
Could not get the licensing rights for it.
Correct.
So they created Donkey Kong, who was supposed to be like Bluto from Popeye, the big asshole guy.
Fun.
And Popeye turned into Jumpman, who, as we all know, turned into Mario.
And he was a plumber for goddamn like 25 years, and now he's not.
Yep.
And his brother's still a plumber.
And we saw his nipples this year. 2018 was the year of the Mario nipple. Now he can't be on Tumblr unless it's male presenting.
Mario 2018. He has such a little boy body. What the fuck?
I don't know, man.
Anyways, this is episode 116 of Super Gamecast 64. I hope you enjoyed the show. Subscribe to us, whatever you want to do. I don't know. I'm struggling to find a way to end this show. Oh, you've leveled up? Yes. If you've been listening since the beginning of season 4, you are now level 16. Yeah, level 16. Kevin, you know who you are. You're like level 19. You're level 20 or something like that, bro. I don't know. Be whatever level you want to, man. It's really your life. More to come. Imagine a world completely underwater? I feel like that's a good one. Like, that's the one we should stick with. But I like that people have leveled up. The gang's all here. Kevin, thanks for coming on. We did a good one.
We did it.
I think that's just where we're gonna end.
We did it.
We did it.